Okay. Hi. Hi, this is Jackie Neal. I'm continuing my oral history and documentary project for the Corona Collective, which is a documentary class at the New York Film Academy. I'm continuing this project with my students, and I'm here with my guest, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Okay, well, let's start there. Could you tell me your full name, please?
Jackie, my full name is Joseph Muldoon, and I am the chef owner of Having Culinary.
Could you tell me what the date is today?
Today's date is April 20th, 2020.
Okay, and where are you located?
Jackie, my store is located in Collingswood, New Jersey, right outside of Camden.
Great, thank you. Could you tell me a little bit about how we know each other? It'd be great to have it on the recording.
So Jackie, you and I have been able to establish a relationship because you frequent my business every week, a couple times a week, and you're one of our best customers.
Oh, that's too kind of you. Thank you.
We also share, we've also been able to, we've also been able to get to know each other through our passion for cooking. And, I have a lot of great products here in the store, which, I look forward to sharing recipes with you and hopefully get to cook with you one day.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah, I know. I can't wait to make those meatballs. I'm so jealous. Jerry, my brother is selling some of his pea shoots at Haddon Culinary, but he said he went in there, I guess, a couple weeks ago. Oh, I know when he went in. He went in the weekend that I was supposed to make the meatballs. Joe, I swear to you, he texted my mother and I and my sister 2 days later, and he said, I picked up the meatballs from Joe's store, and everybody was raving about them. And my mother, I'm sure steam was blowing out her ears.
Yeah, I think that was ironic. That was the same weekend, but yeah, we right when everything had started, when the crisis and the pandemic had started, we wanted to make a lot of ready to cook items, and the meatballs, the meatball recipe, that was one of the items. You can still get the fresh aroma of food cooking in your house without, a lot of the prep.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But I'm so happy that he was able to benefit from our conversation, because basically we talked for like an hour about meatballs.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, and we'll still do them. We'll still get the beef blend, and we'll still, I'll get the country ribs, and we'll have the sausage and everything. I still remember what you need, and we'll have it ready when you need it.
Your memory is so spot on. I can't believe it. All right. So that leads me into talking about exactly where we are in time and in history. We're in the midst of a global pandemic. The entire globe has shut down due to a virus named COVID-19. And it has impacted every single country and state of the United States. So Italy shut down, France shut down, China shut down, South Korea shut down. I mean, the list goes on. And the United States is currently in the process of a stay-at-home order. Where are we located? Did you mention where we're located?
So Jackie, we are located in Collingswood, New Jersey. It's right outside of Camden, and also right outside of Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, most of the, I'm sure most people that live in Collingswood do commute to Philadelphia. And a lot of people view Collingswood as an extension of Philadelphia, just because of the city feel that the main street has. My store, Haddon Culinary, is also located off of Haddon Ave, which, there's about 20 restaurants in a half mile radius of our store. So it's a very popular restaurant scene, culinary scene. There's a lot of BYOBs, and we just opened December 28th of 2019. So we've only been open for about 4 months. We've really been embraced. It's a chef-driven specialty food market, prepared foods market.
That's great that you just said all that, because that could lead me into this first question. I'm wondering how the stay-at-home order has affected your business. And as you mentioned, I am a frequent customer. So in many ways, I witnessed how it impacted it a lot in the beginning. I haven't really been able to come over as much as I would prefer to watch it day in, day out. But I can imagine you have some interesting things to share with us. How did it all go down for you?
So the pandemic and COVID-19 scare has affected our business in many different ways, positive and negative. For a frequent customer such as yourself, there's some things that you may not actually notice most of the changes, because when you come into the store, you know what you want, you know what we have, and everything else that we've added, such as commodity grocery items, some of the other, I guess, mainstream essentials, we've added them to accommodate and to be there for the town. But, for the customers that would frequent, our business before all of this, they still come in, they know exactly what they want. Anything else before that, they already, it's all part of a routine. So we were part of your routine before. So as a frequent customer, you come in, you get the sausage, you get your pork tenderloin, you get your meats, and some of the produce, and that's it. Or not it, but that's what you come in there for. I think this whole crisis has brought in a lot of folks that have not come in before, and I think they may think that we were known more for the grocery, having these mainstream essential groceries, which is not the case. I did not want to have an identity, or we did not want to have an identity as a grocery store. Before opening, we removed, the previous owners or the previous tenants, the former business was called McFarland's Market. And more than half of their store contained grocery items. There was about eight racks of groceries that we removed, and five doors of freezer space that we removed before we even came in. So we don't have any frozen grocery items. We don't have the frozen vegetables, ice cream, other things, frozen meats. It probably would have been good if we still had that, but we moved away from all of that completely because we wanted to be known for prepared foods. Mm-hmm. Daily and nightly dinner specials.
Uh-oh, you just cut out. Uh-oh.
Mainly, we feel a lot of folks are a little reluctant to come in and purchase open-air food.
Hey, Joe.
Stuff that sits out on display.
Hey, Joe, you actually just got cut off after, like, for a good portion of what you were just saying.
Okay.
Can you start from where you said we didn't want to sell frozen food?
No problem.
Okay.
Yep. You want me to repeat the question or no?
No, you don't have to repeat the question. Just your train of thought would be good.
Okay. So, we did not want to fill our square footage with frozen food. It conflicted with our freshly prepared our approach to food as being freshly prepared. Daily, and although And at this time, I feel like if we had kept the freezer space, it would have helped us supply the community with more items, more essential goods. Hmm. But we got rid of the freezer space. But you know, I fear that you know, through all of this, you know, I do not want our customers to continue to count on us for the essential goods, like peanut butter, you know, flour, sugar. We just there's very little space that we have, and once we open the market back up regularly with dining in, more specials that are, you know, an open air display, we really won't have the room to provide all of those items. So my fear is once everything goes back to normal, you know, my fear is always disappointing people, and I would just hate to disappoint people because we've altered our business model so much, or I feel like we have, to accommodate folks with the essential goods, that we, you know, we would just let them down. And again, the whole intention was not to be a grocer, just very limited specialty grocery items like good olive oils, aged balsamic vinegars, different types of organic jams, and, you know, imported pasta from Italy, mm-hmm. Which it's all done well through all of this. So the good, the positive, you know, it's this pandemic has shown shed light on the meat department, the seafood department, the grocery items, the produce department, all areas that were struggling. You know, we weren't doing very well in those areas, and that makes up about half of the store. So, you know, when we were closing in on February and March, right before all this happened, you know, we did not feel very confident. Not that we were going to go out of business, but this was, you know, it was very worrisome, actually. You know, when more than half of your store is not performing well because everybody's coming in for the prepared foods, and you know, it's good because that creates our identity, but it also, again, we were worried, but this has really saved us. I hate to say it. It has saved us.
That's amazing. Can I interject really quickly? I think it'd be really interesting if you could explain as to why people might be coming to your store for essentials.
Right. So why I think, you know, folks have started to, you know, come to us and turn to us for essential goods, would be we do have it's a larger store, but it's still small. It's about 4,000 square feet. So when compared to the larger grocers like ShopRite, Wegmans, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and Aldi, we were able to maintain strict, you know, sanitary guidelines. I do feel that we were very much ahead of everybody with, you know, restricting everybody to 6 feet apart, providing gloves at the door. I mean, as early as, you know, before all the state lockdowns. And, you know, of course we had complied with the masks, but, you know, we've just had a very, I guess, a sense of comfort for all of our guests. And then we've always limited the headcount between, it was 8, but now it's 5. But even then, that's far below the mark of what you would, of the amount of people that you would have to be around at any single point if you were at any other store. So, you know, our square footage really, and of course the cleanliness and everything, it's really has been able to provide a level of comfort for everybody, whether you had come here before or whether you're coming in here for the first time. Because of all this, you leave feeling safe and you leave feeling comfortable.
Right. And it's also important to mention on here, which it hasn't been mentioned in any of the interviews, and that is that many of the products that you're selling are not available in the markets. And that's basically the conversation we had before we started to record was about how I couldn't find flour anywhere, or bread flour, or yeast. The bigger supermarkets that you mentioned, like all these SuperShopRite, Acme, Trader Joe's, they were basically barren. They had no foods and essentials that people were looking for. And I think it's important that maybe you can mention that as well, is that you made sure to have those staples, or at least the basic staples, so that people can come and purchase them. And that's why you're worried, because you didn't ever intend to sell those. But now you have to, because that's what people are looking for, because they can't find it at regular bigger supermarkets, right?
Correct, Jackie. I think in addition to all of this, when people have come to us for the essential goods, because we've always had them in stock, there were many points in the beginning where, we would just get phone calls asking us if we had chicken or ground beef, or if we had milk or eggs. And when we would reply yes, it was like they found, a pot of gold, because it was so scarce. It was, everybody had, I hate to use the word hoard, but, people were going out frantically and purchasing as much as they can. And all of the grocery stores had run out of food by, I believe it was maybe the second week in March. And we were lucky to have relationships with vendors and, pretty much only vendors that would supply restaurants. So before all of this, we actually were turned down, or maybe not the best terms, or for whatever reason, that we weren't able to establish accounts with the center store grocery vendors. So if I wanted to get in touch with the same purveyor that would supply ShopRite, I couldn't. I didn't have a large enough store. But luckily and fortunately for us, the restaurants, the vendors that supplied restaurants actually had food, and have always had food, and will always have food. So we never ran out. So, we were able to help them out in return. And, if we had gone another route, we probably would not have received deliveries, because all the other larger grocery stores had to reorder. And we definitely would not have been considered through all of this. And who knows, we may not have even had food.
I remember that one day I came in right before I knew I wasn't going to be able to get out, and I was buying up a bunch of meat, and I was just like, well, what do you think, Joe? Are you going to have food? And you're like, oh, Jackie, you're like, we have these wholesale accounts with people who supply restaurants, and you're like, we're going to have no problem. And I guess I didn't realize the whole backstory to it. And you know what, like, I think what's even cooler about that is like literally we're so fortunate to have you here, because we're buying restaurant quality food, like for our own home cooked meals, which is, like, in my opinion, I think is, especially with your acumen and like the way that you hand pick everything, like we're getting like the top of the line. I know I love my eggs. They are so delicious. Like, I just know that, like, I'm getting such quality products. It's so cool to know that, and I think that, that's amazing and good for the locals who are going and picking up food from your place, So thank you for that.
Okay. We definitely got lucky. Everybody, the town of Collingswood is lucky for us to be able to, that we're all lucky. We definitely are. I mean, we could have had problems for sure.
Well, you definitely have become the lemonade in town for sure. The lemons, you've made lemonade. So I'm going to ask a little bit more like personal questions, if you don't mind. But so do you know anyone that was diagnosed with COVID-19?
So I do not know anybody personally. So I do not know anybody that has been diagnosed with COVID-19 personally, and even the staff. So far, we've been fortunate that none of the staff members really have been affected, physically themselves or their family members. So it's even though, the whole world has stopped, our world, for us and our employees has not. If anything, we've been busier and all staying healthy, and I don't want to say we haven't been affected, but it hasn't changed much. We're just more cautious, but everybody still reports to work. Now, when everything first, when all of the press releases and all of the warnings and everybody really began to get scared, we did have two employees self-quarantine. I think everybody reacts differently, and they thought they had symptoms and wanted to stay home, and they were required to stay home for 14 days. They never had anything, and they were checked out by they had to return with a doctor's note. I guess I shouldn't say that. So yes, we were affected. The staff was affected because we did lose two employees in the beginning. And also personally, my wife, I made the choice to keep her home, to stay with the two girls. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 7-month-old daughter. And I wanted her to stay home, but she had to, actually, because my parents would watch them, and they're both in their 70s. And I hate to say that I have to go to work, but I did. I mean, it's my business. I can't abandon it. So I did have to work no matter what, no matter how bad it was going to get. Mm-hmm. We could not report to work. And I'll tell you, so that was 3 key employees that we were missing. So we actually changed the hours. We changed the hours of operation because of that. Actually, that was 120 hours missing and another chef. So we went from 7 days.
Can I clarify? Your wife worked at Haddon Culinary?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So she, my wife does work with me, and she, she had helped open a store. She's a chef as well. Mm-hmm. And, it's sweat equity because she doesn't really pay herself a salary. Mm-hmm. It essentially cannot fail. So, we have all the liabilities. So she works for free. So we actually have 3 chefs here.
Wow.
And, it's tough enough to afford 1. 2, you have to make a good amount of money or bring in a good amount of revenue to have 2. But to have 3 is a plus. But, we had got so used to that and taken on so much knowing we had 3. And then when we went down to 2, we had to reduce our hours of operation. So previously, we had been open Monday through Sunday, 8 to 8. And that is what? That's 84 hours, right? So we went from 84 hours, and we closed it down 2 days, and now we're just 12. And at one point we were 12 to 6. It was just 30 hours, So it was a drastic turn. It was a drastic change. But when you lose 2 employees because they may have symptoms, but you can't confirm it, that you need to get tested because you're worried about, about just even having anybody infected. If that were to happen, we would have had to close. Mm-hmm. Or we would have had to announce something, mm-hmm. and that would have been detrimental. Not that we wouldn't have, but if it had happened, we would have. So then when you hear people around you possibly having it, then you fear for yourself, and then you fear for your 7-month-old daughter, and then you fear for yourself for walking in the building altogether. And there was a fear. I think there's a level of comfort now, which probably isn't good because we're used to it, but there was a level of fear in the beginning. And, we handle money. We that's my job, is handling money. And, how many different people am I coming in contact every day that I have to count the drawer and count the money and just even touch it? It's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very dangerous.
Wow. So that would be, what is your greatest fear about the coronavirus? What is the biggest fear you have?
The biggest fear I have about the coronavirus is my elderly parents who, my father would be at high risk. And, to know that everything would have been traced back to, I would have to take full ownership or blame for if anything were to happen. They are staying home. They are self-quarantining. I am providing them with food. So the food is coming from my store. And if anything were to happen, I wouldn't help but think that, it was something that we did wrong. It was something that, was cross-contaminated from the store that they, and it got into their house. So that is my biggest fear. And that is what I'm worried about. They wash everything when they get in. I haven't, we haven't come in contact with each other in a very long time, but that's my biggest fear.
So how has it been affecting your familial relationships, like with your children and your spouse, or even with your parents?
Well, my parents are, so this has been affecting my, direct relationships with my family. It's tough because, my daughter, she had spent every other day with her grandparents, and she can't see him. She doesn't understand. She knows everybody's sick, and it's playful because we don't want to scare her, but she just doesn't understand. She hasn't gone to school. I mean, she's only 3, but she used to go to pre-K and see her friends. She can't go out and see her friends, with the weather, the nicer weather, she wants to go outside, which is okay, but that also comes with going to the park. And she can't go to the park. She doesn't really understand, and that's been tough. But there is a silver lining because, my wife, who has dedicated her entire our entire relationship to always working, either establishing her career, or now working for, our own business. She's now at home 7 days a week. With her 2 kids, which is something that she never would have been able to do. So it's actually, forced us to do something good for our family. The only negative is, it's just a little difficult, as I've said, for my daughter to understand why she can't see everything else, but she does get to see her mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. So how do you feel like this has been affecting you emotionally?
So I feel like this pandemic has been affecting me emotionally in it hasn't been affecting me emotionally in a way where, this pandemic has, this pandemic has been affecting me emotionally. It strengthened me emotionally, I think. I do feel as though, the employees, we have some younger employees too, and some other employees that, you know, it's new to everybody, and we're all trying to make the best choice and navigate through all of this. And you know, we've had to continuously change our procedures and process with the way we, you know, allow customers in the store and how we interact with the customers. And you cannot, you definitely cannot show any type of, you can't let them know that you have any kind of worry. You cannot allow yourself to worry your employees or anybody else that's looking to you to make the right decision. And, you know, I've been in many high pressure situations, but, you know, you usually know what to expect. I mean, there's usually an end to these high pressure situations. Okay. You have a night where you have a lot of, you know, important, guests in your dining room, where you have, you know, a big event that you have to, you know, successfully execute. But this is something that, you know, no one still knows how much longer this is going to go on. It's now April 20th, 2020. And as far as I can recall, this has been going on for about 7-8 weeks now. And maybe about five weeks.
It's about seven. Yeah. I came straight to your store when I was told. I was told to not come back to school in New York, and I went straight to your store and started to buy stuff as soon as I got down here. So it's about 7 weeks.
Right. So 7 weeks, and we don't know how much longer. You know, it's you try to, and crazy enough, you know, I have, you know, this has been my world through its entirety. I've been in the store. I don't have much time to watch the news or, you know, stay on top of the ever-changing, the death counts, things like that. We're in our own little world now. And, you know, every day I come in, I see the same people. They come in, they're healthy. I think, you know, I'm thankful for that, but this is, it's a bubble. We've been in a bubble. I feel like that my place of business has been in a bubble. And, you know, I'm just grateful that, you know, I get to see the same people in the bubble. You know, if I didn't see them, I'd be worried. And that's what worries me too. Customers alike, you know, customers, I'd be worried if I didn't see the customers too. Cause you know, we do have, some confirmed cases in this town, you know, and I hope everybody can stay careful, but you know, there's nothing they can do. Honestly, it's a very, it spreads easily. It spreads very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you keep your, speaking of which, how do you keep yourself entertained? Do you ever get bored? And I think this is, being that I see you at your place of business, I kind of want to laugh at that question because you're never not moving. But tell me if you have anything how do you keep yourself entertained, or do you ever get bored?
So through all of this, you know, I haven't had any issues keeping myself entertained or have really felt bored. I haven't, you know, I joke to myself and maybe my wife that, you know, even through all of this, you know, I still have to work. You know, I always had to go to work every holiday. I always have to work every weekend. I always have to work through everything. Even, you know, there's been hurricanes, you know, I had to work there. Even in the casinos shut down, I had to be there to feed everybody. So I've always had to work. And now that we're busy, I'm working even more. And, you know, catching up on TV shows or anything like that, I haven't had time for it. So, you know, plus the kids, you know, so now I haven't, like I said, it's been the same bubble as if everything is normal or business as usual. So it's, you know, and I'm grateful that we're able to still stay open. So I would not want to be on the other end.
So let me just ask you, I've asked you how it's affected you emotionally. I've asked how you, familial, relationships, entertained. I got all three. You don't know anyone diagnosed with COVID-19. You mentioned I didn't ask this question, but you mentioned your greatest fear, how it's affected your business. All right, now we've come to, do you envision a silver lining, and what would it be to this whole experience?
So I do envision a silver lining from this whole experience, and that silver lining is the response that we've received from everybody, from the community, from all of our customers, old and new. We may be a year ahead of our normal progress after all of this. You know, only being in business for 4 months, yet to have an outpour of customers just continuously just thank you for being open. That message precedes and is on every ending email that we receive, with every order, every phone call, every salutation when they walk out of the store is thank you for being open. And we are just thankful to be open, or we are just thankful to be in business for ourselves. And we are just so thankful ourselves to just be in this position to provide food for everybody. And it's always been, when we came into Collingswood, or why we chose Collingswood, was a genuine desire to be something for a community and for a small town. And, you know, we, knowing that, you know, this, our location is not necessarily located on a major highway, you know, it's an urban infill. So, you know, we're supported just from, you know, the folks that live in a 1 mile square rate, in a 1 mile radius. There's about 19,000 households in a 1 mile radius. And we said to ourselves, you know, we said that we could really be something to this town. And, you know, we knew the town already had a love for, passion for cooking, and that's proven from all of the restaurants, the dozens of restaurants that are in this town. And you know, I think the silver lining is definitely people thanking us for even being open. And that's just you know, I don't know.
That's awesome.
It just reassures that, you know, the silver lining is because it reassures the genuine reason of why we wanted to come here. It is chef driven. It is so we can be creative, and it was so we could put out great food and people would, you know, pay attention to it, because that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you go to, you know, if you open up in Atlantic City or if you open up in Philadelphia, you know, it's not always a great response. You know, some people don't appreciate, some people don't necessarily, you know, or if you open up in other places in South Jersey, you know, there's a lot of Italian restaurants. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of the same, and that's just what they want. That's all. But here, you know, we felt comfortable. We felt comfortable to be comfortable here. And,
that's awesome.
You know, and this is, to be thanked for even opening is just incredible. It's just amazing. And you know, again, we're getting business in other areas of the store that were failing. And you know, we're making progress now as if we've been open for a year and 4 months, but we've only been open for 4 months. So it has saved my business. It has, you know, put us in hopefully a position to succeed. And, you know, everybody's been still thankful. Even every time we've made a change to, you know, open again, close again, I wouldn't even dare to do that in a 2 or 3 week, you know, time frame, change hours several times. We had to. We had to when we were shorthanded. We have to now because we couldn't handle the business that we had in 5 days. We went back to 7 days because there was so much we couldn't handle it. So now we've removed our hours. So now we're open from 12 to 6. 12 to 1 is for high-risk individuals and for elderly folks. And from 1 to 6 is normal business. And then we still have staff that comes in at 7 in the morning. Because we answer phone calls, we pull all of our orders for pickup and delivery, and we're busy all the way through up until we open the door. So we do a full day's business before we even open the door, because no one wants to go to a grocery store right now. It's the breeding ground for, it's the only place that's open, and it's the only place that everybody has to go to. So why would you feel comfortable doing that? So, we're just very lucky. We are just very, very lucky.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have you. So the feeling's mutual.
No, I appreciate everything, Jackie.
Well, I have gotten through all the questions that I meant to ask. Is there anything, since this is going to be archived with the Library of Congress, is there anything you'd like to share with me in the world?
Yeah, one thing that I'd like to share with the world would be just a employer's perspective on everything. When you have 21 team members that are informed of numerous ways that you can stay home and get paid, and they don't do it, and they still come in to work, risking their lives and the health of their family members to still come in so that your new business can succeed. That's what I think. Everybody is praising all of the, frontline workers and, the essential workers, and they all deserve it. But, not only because they're risking their lives, but because the government and everybody has, provided them with so many outs, and they still come in. And, everybody wants to work and everybody wants to stay busy, those too. But there's for somebody as an employer, you always have to, have your guard up, and I haven't had to, I've been very lucky. There's been several employees that have drastically changed their hours, cut their hours in half, say, I want to only work 5 hours a day and I want to leave before the customers come in. I said, okay. I said, we'll make that accommodation, because there were several, and they took that route. So they're getting, they're working half the amount of time, but they have an out and they didn't take it. They want to be there to, support your business. And, all of these different loans that are out and all of these other, payroll protection plans and, SBA loans, I have applied for them. But we haven't heard anything back. But, I do hope that we do get something to compensate, the employees that have been out for a little bit, or, maybe that have offset their own hours, because they're still here for us. And I think that is definitely the unsung hero with everything. Everybody's getting praise, but you just don't really understand how many outs they're really getting. And the only person that's really looking at that is the person that is going to be affected the most, and that's the employer. Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that you said that. It's really very, very, it's very sweet of you, but something that I don't think many people think about, and I'm glad that you brought that up. So thank you.
Yeah, a lot of outs. But they're still here.
Okay, Joe. Well, on that note, I think I've taken enough of your time up. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your honesty. And I really learned a lot from everything that you said. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jackie. All right, you take care. I'll see you again soon. All right, stay safe.
Okay. See ya.
Take care.
Bye.